1 Kings 19, beginning at verse 4. Elijah himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he travelled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. This is the word of God.
Second reading can be found on page 1042 and is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, starting to read at verse 38. That's 1042. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
I will be moving between the Luke and the Elijah passage this morning, so if you want to keep your fingers in those to check that I don't misquote, that would be good. Heavenly Father, as we continue to hear your word and respond to your word, may we be blessed and encouraged. Amen. As Tim and I, as some of you may know, are approaching retirement, we already have a number of friends who are retired. And I keep wondering, how am I going to fill all our free time? Because all of our lives, we've been so busy. And in our heads, we've been governed by diaries and rotas and deadlines. And on the other hand, I now spend quite a bit of time with Primrose, my 2.5-year-old granddaughter. And watching how she fills her time fascinates me. For Primrose does exactly what she wants when she wants. She moves from the Play-Doh to the coloring book to the train set whenever the mood takes her. There's no order to what she does and when she does it. And then when she fancies a story, she picks up her favorite book and she comes up and goes, "Nonny, read." No, please, nothing. Her expectation is that I will be available at all times to read to her. She believes that I am ready to listen to her and to read. And in my head, I want my retirement to be like Primrose's childhood, to do whatever I fancy, whenever I fancy. But I look around at you, retirees, and you are not setting me a good example. You're just as busy, and you're not getting paid for it. I'm longing for this rest of retirement, but I don't see much hope in this room. Napo's shaking his head there, so he is. but watching Primrose, I notice that she is completely happy until her timetable clashes with somebody else's. Primrose, it's dinner time! Primrose, no, we cannot go for a walk now. Primrose, it's time to sleep. If she's not ready to fit in with me, then we experience a tantrum. And then I begin to think, Primrose at 2.5 is still in touch with that natural rhythm of life. She knows when it's time to play. She knows eating time. She knows when she wants company. And more importantly, she knows when she needs rest. And she has this most adorable habit. When she is tired, she gets her right hand and she shoves it up and up and up till it reaches her shoulder. And then she attempts to do it with the left hand. And she closes her eyes and you know Primrose is resting. And if it's during the day, she just climbs up on the sofa and up the hand goes and she rests. This week's focus is a time to rest. And I think we all need to relearn how to rest. It's not just a simple matter of getting into bed for a few hours and waking up later all refreshed. Believe me, I've tried that and it doesn't work. You see, for instance, in our 1 Kings 19 reading, we have Elijah. And he did everything right. He cleared his workload. Back in chapter 18, he had dealt with that big project. The prophets of Baal have been put aside. Then in chapter 19, we read that he cleared his diary and took time out. He removed all distractions. In verse 3 of our reading, we read that he left his manservant behind, and then he went on a further day's journey. He got himself into a safe place in verse 4, and he prayed under the broom tree and fell asleep in verse 5. And that is exactly what our life coaches would tell us today. Clear your diary, turn off your phone so you're not distracted, and sleep. But it's not the way that God wanted Elijah to rest. Elijah was running away, and his prayer was the prayer of a man who was feeling a failure. And as we read, we see that God deals with him then on two levels. Firstly, God restored him for the moment. An angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." And Elijah did so. And then he slept again. But God woke him a second time. And again he ate and drank. And then continued on the long journey to Mount Horeb, where he had a much longer and detailed interaction with God. God sustained him over the initial crisis and then dealt with him in a deeper way. Just as the first nap was not enough, it was God's presence, God's intervention in the rest that made the difference to Elijah. The touch of the angel, God meeting his needs in the provision of food, and then God's words to him are what really rested Elijah. And in our second reading, in Luke 10, I've lost the page. In our second reading in Luke 10, Jesus also confirms this. We hear about Martha and Mary. We all know the story. Martha had the good work ethic, the way I was brought up. Get the job done and then you can sit down and rest. But Mary sits down first. But it's why she is sitting down that counts, that matters. And Jesus affirms this. For Mary, according to our reading, has chosen what is better. She sat at Jesus' feet and was in his presence and listened. That is what matters to Jesus. That is what sustained Mary. And that is what will sustain us too. It's not the sitting down and doing nothing that rests us, but the receiving of God's gifts to us that restore us. And that is our first word this week, restoration. The Hebrew word for rest is, where's Graham? Am I going to pronounce this right? Menuah, which means it's to be held or embraced like a child at the mother's breast. The picture of the mother feeding the baby. And as the baby feeds, she strokes its face, whispers love words to it. And the baby falls asleep as nourishment and love is poured into it. That is the restoration that we need. A restoration that speaks of love. A restoration that speaks encouragement. A restoration that speaks of a future. A restoration that speaks of godly rest. And that is only received from God himself. So rest is more than just a cessation from work. It's about recovery and restoration. We have to make a plan for it. We have to value it and prioritize it. Primrose knows when she's hungry. She knows when she wants company. She knows when she wants to go for a walk. We too have to relearn these things are important in our lives. And we have to actively seek these out. We have to seek out rest as a good thing and value it. Because rested people make better people. The second word for the week is remembrance. Moses led the slaves out of Egypt, and they moved from being slaves to being free. They moved from a situation where they were demanded on pain of death to work ceaselessly. There's too many S's in that for me. Ceaselessly. In fact, they were worked into the grave. And now suddenly they were free and written into their new constitution, into their new law, was a day of rest. God commanded them to rest. This was a turning upside down of their lives. Rest, he said. Rest your whole households. Rest your animals. Rest your servants. Rest for a whole day. And on that day, they have to remember. Remember where they had come from. And remember their deliverance. And remember who had delivered them. They were given a whole day set aside to remember God and his work. They remembered God's work in his delivery of them out of slavery. And now we remember what God did for us too when we remember our salvation from death. And that is what we do, especially this morning as we share communion. We remember the final sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Lord, who died for us. We remember the deathly silences. And then we remember the rising again on that first Easter morning so that we do not have to die, but we always have a hope and future. And as we remember, we acknowledge our dependence on God's goodness. Our day of remembering is today. And when we fully partake in it, we are revived and restored. Remembering and restoration go together. And we are able to receive God's restoration and do the remembering because of the final word, grace. Grace is the underlying dynamic of the Sabbath. God's love for us does not depend on what we do. Receiving God's love freely is fundamental to being a follower of Christ. The Sabbath is the first day of the week, and we talk about going back to work tomorrow after we have been refreshed, after we have rested. But we do not receive the rest after we have worked as a reward, but to restore us and equip us. We do not rest in order to be better people, to be better workers, but to be better people. Imagine the impact on our coming week if we fully restored the restoration on a Sunday before our work begins on Monday. Imagine our hearts and minds overflowing with joy and thankfulness as we enter our workplace on Monday. Then how different would be our attitude to work and our fellow workers? In our Luke reading, the opportunity for Martha and Mary was the same, but only Mary recognized it. Mary was the one who recognized who Jesus was and what he brought into that home by his presence. Martha's words of anger and frustration reflected what she received that day. It reflected what was in her heart as a result of the choice that she made to stay in the kitchen. Mary chose Jesus' presence. She chose what was better. Through grace, Mary was able to be still and sit in Jesus' presence. And this same grace is available to us to invite us and to enable us to sit and to be restored at Jesus' feet. I spoke earlier of how Primrose prepares for rest. She sends out a signal to the rest of us that she wants and needs to rest. That hand goes up her sleeve every time. We are now going to pause and think about our rhythm of rest and put into place a rhythm of godly rest. I'm going to put on some music and invite us to close our eyes, including Betty, the musicians, Darren, Roz, and just sit and think. And if you have a pen and paper or your notes on your phone, maybe write down a time that you commit to resting and being still. Whether you're going to start off with a daily moment, a weekly hour, a monthly day, let's just take that moment now in silence as we listen to this song. He's got the whole world in his hand, so we can switch off and rest. Loving God, refresh us. Healing God, restore us. Mighty God, remake us. Gracious God, renew us. Amen.